poured to the cloud. All right. Welcome everyone to the Aries Working Group on May 25th, 2022. We'll start with our usual welcome here. Since this is a Hyperledger working group and means that we are meeting under the Linux Foundation antitrust policy notice, we have a policy that everyone is welcome here. Everyone can come and contribute, and we want everyone to feel safe, and we're not pushing particular commercial opportunities. So we're going to follow the Hyperledger Code of Conduct. That's kind of our summary. And if you have concerns about your usual or today's special host or other participants, we can follow that link to the Hyperledger Code of Conduct and make other people aware of anything that went wrong or recommendations. You are welcome to add yourselves to the list of attendees, as Philippe and I already have. And is there anyone who would like to introduce themselves today? All right, I'll introduce myself. In case anyone doesn't know me, my name is Mike Ebert. I lead the team, the enterprise team at Indicio. That means the team that writes controller code that sits on top of Akapai, works with agents that run on servers. And I'm usually kind of a lurker on the Aries working group calls, but I've been coming for a while and appreciate all the work that's done here. And see mostly familiar faces today, so we can move on from introductions. Let's talk about some announcements. So first announcement on our list is the DIDCOM working group will be voting to approve version 2 this coming Monday. Woohoo! And then my announcement is the Cardia Interopathon is scheduled for June 16th. So Cardia is an open source community that focuses on the management, sharing, and verification of health and travel data. And so the Interopathon there, there are going to be several reference implementations of agents that use the health data and follow Aries protocols and standards. And this particular Interopathon is, you know, it's a chance to come and test agents against each other and, you know, verify that some of the workflows go smoothly and that everybody's kind of playing by the rules. Differs a little bit from the Aries test harness and interop profile in that there are a couple things that we try to test that kind of arise in live situations. You know, there are extra agreements or steps or things that aren't part of the interop profile for Aries that sometimes cause people a little trouble or where agreement needs to be made, at least as a Cardia community. This particular time, we'll be doing some pretty basic protocol testing. So instead of full medical workflows, we'll be doing some basic connections out of issuance, presentations, basic message, and question and answer testing. Does anybody else have other announcements that they would like to add to our list today? All right, that's a half Nathan wait there, so we can move on. Feel free to add announcements to this agenda later if you think of something that you'd like to bring up here. Let's go over some release status and work updates. Does anyone have anything about the Aries Agent test harness or interop info that they'd like to bring up today? All right, Aries shared components, the Indie SDK replacements, such as Asgard or Indie VDR. All right, any updates from some of the frameworks that are out there, Akapai. Aries Framework JavaScript. I don't see most of our usual attendees for that group. Looks like according to James, they're working on a 0.2 release, which would include issuing credentials and using present proof version 2 and out of band with did exchange. Looks like they've merged revocation and revocation notification support. And then they have some PRs for lower versions of some protocols. Looks like beginning JSON LD and BBS plus support.
And Mike, I can give a little update on that if you like. I see Timo's not here because I've been working on AFJ. So
awesome.
Pretty much everything that you're saying there is correct, but the actual OOB did exchange PR was actually merged into 020 last Friday, I think, or last week. So that's actually been merged, which is cool.
Yes.
And started working on JSON LDBS Plus. In fact, we've almost finished that. There's a PR for issue credentials, JSON LD and BBS Plus, and the present proof is progressing. So I would say we've passed the started working phase. As I say, it's that's going to go into the next release is going to be 030, and there's already like a sort of placeholder branch ready for that. And we're starting to merge some of that stuff in already. So it's probably, yeah, nearing completion is probably a more accurate description. I know Timo's been working on some new RFCs and so on, but it best come from him. So I think what you've got there is now pretty close to the mark. Yeah.
All right. I really appreciate the updates. I was just reading off the notes, and the notes needed updating. So now we've got very promising progress on some important stuff. Thank you.
Yes, no problem.
All right. We have a mention for Aries Framework Go. Usually Troy, I guess, is the one who does any work there. But does someone have an update for Aries Framework Go? Aries VCX or Aries Framework.net? Okay, for mobile, we've got Aries Bifold or Aries Max, mobile agent Xamarin. Aries Bifold is built on AFJ, and so a lot of those same updates apply. Any additional word on those two mobile projects? And we'll round things out by asking for the last four items: Aries Service Mediator, Toolbox, SDK Java, or URSA. All right. the more I get into this community, the more I appreciate all the volunteer work that people put into all these projects. So thank you very much for your contributions to all of these different efforts. Sam wrote me an agenda for discussion today, and he put in the one topic where I actually feel like I have a little bit of expertise to share. He wanted an update shared about machine-readable governance. So I'll just go over a couple things that are relevant there, and then we can discuss the AIP version 2 and the pickup protocol a little bit. And then we can add any other items that people have at the end, especially if we have some spare time. So for machine-readable governance, we have been sharing the work that we've been doing at Indicio each IIW since we started. And the first couple of times, people said, what's machine-readable governance? What's a trust registry? Why should we care? And this last IIW, we went and there was a great deal of interest and understanding and participation and interesting questions and recommendations and people beginning to attempt to implement and use some form of machine-readable governance. And so it was really exciting to have so much interaction and interest in it this last time around. So I was able to present two sessions at IIW and one on the basics and one a little bit on our implementation that we have so far. One of the recommendations was that we begin working with a standards body to try and make it somewhat standard and share the work we've done, so that the whole community can take advantage of machine-readable governance. And after IIW, I was able to get in touch with the folks at the DIF, and they coincidentally had begun a work item at the Claims and Credentials Working Group. So they invited me to participate there. And so we're beginning some work on trust lists in particular, but also some other features that that we've given try at, including in machine readable governance. And the TOIP trust registry protocol has indeed been mentioned and looked into a couple different times. So there are some commonalities and there are some differences.
Mike, can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Would I be right in saying that machine-readable governance and trust registries are essentially sort of synonymous terms, just to get the terminology clear? Is there any difference, or is one a subset of the other? Or because I've heard the trust registry is something I'm very familiar with. I know Daryl, when we were working on this kind of stuff, the TIP stuff a year or so ago. But machine-readable governance is a new one on me. So is there any difference between the two terms?
Yes, there are some common goals. And there are a couple differences. So machine-readable governance is kind of a blanket term that means, you know, any system or method for implementing, you know, governance or rules or decisions within a community as, you know, using machines. And the Trust over IP, Trust Registry Protocol is one approach to do that. And then the governance framework files that Indicio has been working on is kind of another. And there's just, generally speaking, I mean, there are a couple different ways that people think of trust registries, and machine readable governance framework files are also a slightly different and kind of a new thing for people. With trust registries, a model that tends to occur there is you end up with some kind of standards or governing body that establishes a system where the information is collected, and then they have a protocol for how that's recorded and shared. And occasionally, besides listing trusted participants, they'll have some other things they try to do, like specifying roles or things like that. And the slight difference between that and a governance framework file. So the governance framework files are the reason that we started trying to use to create those is that there's a little bit of a chicken and the egg problem where, you know, if you are setting up a system where you need to have trusted agents and participants, you know, sometimes it's like, well, you know, we need to have a trust registry to say, to make a list of who's trusted and how do you trust the trust registry? And is it a third party organization that's a nonprofit or government or an organizer of some other means? Are we going to wait on someone to set one of those up? And sometimes there are situations where you may want to bootstrap into trust within your own jurisdiction. So let's say you are a company and you're trying to use agents internally with, you know, within your own organization, your own departments, maybe your own partners, your own ecosystem of work. And you don't necessarily want or need a third party registry of any kind. One thing you can do instead of setting up using the Trust over IP registry protocol is you could also use a governance framework file. And so my notes for governance framework files, there are a couple different pieces. Yeah, kind of like a config file for an ecosystem.
Yep, makes total sense.
And yeah, let's see here. So I'm going to look at the comments in the chat here real quick. Machine readable governance to me has some good data constructs for exchanging business rules. See them aligning in time. The trust registry protocol would serve up data in a format that aligns with machine readable governance approach. Yeah, so there are some things that overlap, and some of the trust over IP people involved there have come to me and said, you know, I think that these approaches would be compatible. So if a local jurisdiction stood up, you know, the governance and some of the config for their ecosystem, it could be shared. One method would be to share it through a trust over IP trust registry protocol and set up there. I hope that does that clarify that some of the subtle differences in approach there and what's going on in those two? Okay, so the governance framework files that we have right now have a couple major parts. There's a section of metadata that describes some things about the governance framework file and the organization that's providing it. Also, you know, machine readable governance typically complements, mirrors, or is works hand in hand with, you know, written human readable governance. And so some of that is can be mentioned in the metadata. We have included a schema list so that people participating or investigating this ecosystem can know which schemas are in use. The part that is, you know, most similar to a trust registry is the trusted participants section. So, given the potential absence or lack of a trust registry, or if you're trying to bootstrap your local ecosystem or manage your list of trusted agents in a config file that can be used by various agents in your system, you can list the participants and give them like a human-friendly name. And the most important part is to list the DID. And then we've included some other options of metadata that can contained there. Those will be especially useful while you're waiting for, you know, until you have a trust registry or other mechanisms to describe the agents. But for now, you can stand up the whole system from scratch and have it in the config file for your governance. Beyond the list of trusted participants, ones that have been vetted and identified ahead of time, there's a section for describing roles and then mapping those roles to the participants in a section called permissions. And then I don't know how much Trust over IP has done in this particular regard. We've done some work with actions that can be linked together to workflows. Could someone comment on, is that something that's part of the Trust over IP, Trust Registry protocols or specs?
No, I mean, right now the Trust over IP spec is really focused on three questions, but then moving on to others. The three questions are you an authoritative issuer? Are mm-hmm. you an authorized verifier? And do you recognize this other trust registry? The next step really is to dive into more about the schema, you know, the presentation requests that are happening, some basic rules, but certainly not, you know, composable actions. No, that would be down the road or completely outside of the trust registry side. Just initial thinking on that.
Okay. Thank you for that. Those are three good goals. Some of those goals are shared here. But that's where a lot of the overlap happens. And then besides the composable actions, you mentioned the request presentation requests. So we've been working on including presentation definitions from the diff.
Yep.
And we're looking to add credential manifests as well. They're mentioned in particular during the actions to say, here's a verification action. And for this verification, we're going to use this particular presentation definition. And when you add a credential manifest, the idea there is to describe what would happen during an issuance. And so those are some good areas for collaborating and making sure our approaches are going to be compatible so that everybody has an easier time of navigating one or the other or both. So for actions, we have three basic ones at the moment. We have an action that would trigger some protocol. So to say, here's an issuance action, a verification action, a connection action, basic message action, question and answer action, something tied to a particular protocol. We have decisions where we name an input and describe, kind of what we expect in that single input. And then based on the value of that input, you can trigger another action. So one example is you could ask, use question and answer to ask a question. And then based on the response to that question, you could trigger some other action in the flow, such as a basic message that says, sorry, we don't, don't support that right now, or congratulations, we're going to issue you a credential, or let's go to a verification step. Each action, besides the information to perform that action, contains a link to the following step or steps. Oh, and then an API one is, we haven't actually implemented one, but we've specified one. That's a way to trigger an API call to an external system. Kind of operates like a state machine. And then, like I said before, we're incorporating presentation definitions and then credential manifests. I think we're going to request a small change or adjustment there that would make it so that they were somewhat limiting because they were tied to a single DID. And I was hoping to make it so that you could define a credential manifest that would cover issuance perhaps by a role or multiple DIDs, so that you wouldn't have to generate one per agent. But anyway, so those are kind of the major pieces. And the diff is interested in starting with the trusted list part. And we'll be discussing how the other parts would fit in and towards the overall strategy, whether they need to be separated from or how they would be linked to the trust list. And what files, formats, et cetera, would be appropriate there. So I think Trust over IP has a bit of a solid head start on the formalization and, being official for their processes and definitions. But we'll be working quickly because we'd like to get some of the pieces that are unique to a governance framework file shared with the community and discussed and described soon so that people can take advantage of that. Yeah, any further questions on that?
I just suggest you know perhaps bring this up at one of the trust over IP if you're willing to do so. If not, I mean, I just don't understand the separation, the duplication of effort myself, but hey. That's just me.
Yeah, no, I understand that there is some duplication of effort, and I will have to investigate to make sure that we're not doing something silly by, are we recreating the wheel in any particular aspect, or is there a real meaningful difference in approach that means that that it would be wise to have both? I will look into, I do have a couple people from Trust Over IP who I have to get back to. It's, they said, let's chat. So I will go and talk to them and see what should come of it. It might be the kind of thing where we should focus on things that are unique here, and or it might be the kind of thing where there's, because of the difference in approach, bottom up rather than or bootstrapped rather than run by an external registry or something like that. Maybe having both approaches as appropriate for different situations would be good, but we should, for the parts that overlap, maybe describe.
Yeah, I think we should definitely have a chat. Like, I think we should definitely have a chat, because the documentation I've seen flying around implies that there's a centralized trust registry. That is a way of implementing it, but that assumption is incorrect, which may drive some decision. But I would look at it this way. The Trust Over IP protocol is intended to be one intentionally simple for now, but evolve into, what are the schemas we support, which immediately mm-hmm. asks a technical question. How does one define schema? Are we talking JSON? Are we talking JSON LD? Are we talking a non-creds? Mm-hmm. And answering the question in the context of the Trust Over IP, when it says, hey, what are the schemas you support? Leverages existing work at DIF, leverages existing work you've done with the governance framework files, so that those things can be brought in likely wholesale. Mm-hmm. There's not actually that heavy of a lift. The one assumption that's being made, which is quite incorrect, is it is meant to be centralized and online all the time. The Trust Over IP, there is a fourth call, by the way, that says, give me your data for external use, which could be equivalent to give me your governance file. And the reason that it's only gone as far as, authoritative issuers, authorized verifiers, do you trust this trust registry, as well as, giving your offline stuff, is that once you start asking what schemas do you support, the technical question comes up, how does one define a schema? That's not in the mandate or remit of Trust Over IP, but if we can point at something, beautiful. We start to answer that question quickly.
I do like the comment that it's not strictly centralized.
Oh, it's absolutely not. It's never intended to be.
There are a couple different interpretations of what a trust registry would be, and many of the ones that have been promoted are highly centralized. And so,
by nature, many of them will be. There are definitive sources of authority. Who issues driver's licenses in North America? That's centralized. Yep. I may want to use a decentralized version that someone else maintains. My hunch is over time, they're not going to continue to maintain it if we can trust a centralized one. But I'm also talking with, one government group who says, they're planning on knowing that they must interface with hundreds of different trust registries and governance frameworks. Because the control really is very diffuse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to use the word decentralized, but it's sort of, hey, if you're only an influencer, beautiful. If there is a central part of authority, beautiful. I don't really care. Can I trust it? Sure. But the nature of the only centralized aspect of the Trust Over IP protocol that is a limitation right now, which it's not much of a limitation, is it has a RESTful interface recommendation. But when one says, okay, cool, we can't have a RESTful interface because that's web-centric, I'm like, you know what? fine, duplicate the protocol in Ethereum Solidity, duplicate the protocol in your own freaking language. I really don't care. It's the constructs of the function calls. That's all I care about.
All right. And then I'm adding a note that says, Trust over IP has no problem incorporating existing work for defining schemas.
Trust over IP has no opinion there. Now, I would argue that our community writ large does not have great solid opinions, right? We have arguments over JSON, JSON LD, what's a non-creds, how does one define a schema? Mm-hmm. But that said, you can put a line in this, draw a line in the sand and saying, here's what we do with a non-creds. Boom. Easy to do.
Okay. Yeah, I think that the interface between these two particular ideas is going to be an important one, because sharing some of the work that's already been done by either party could save us some heartache. So,
as Mike can attest to, yes.
Yeah.
and the reason we specifically went to a very simple, very basic version one, because the minute you look under the covers, you know, it's like that classic picture of an iceberg. It's just, okay, cool. We do the authoritative issuers, authorized verifiers. Hey, we want to do schema. Oh, dear God. and especially a year ago plus, there were left fewer answers. And those answers are shaking out now.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate the comments, Daryl and Mike, and anyone else who pitched in there. So that's kind of... I guess I should change this title from machine readable governance, generally speaking, to machine readable governance using governance framework files. So that's been a nice, healthy discussion and a quick overview of some things that both parties are looking at and working on, so that's good. I think that's all I have to share for machine readable governance with governance framework files today. Let's see, OCA schema to make machine readable schema more human readable. OCA, overlay capture architecture, I believe is that. Should investigate.
Yep, definitely. OCA. Agreed with Philippe. It's OCA allows an ecosystem to state, hey, we push out this being, say, a driver's license or a digital photo card. Here's some recommendations on how you present it in the known languages of this ecosystem. So in Canada, we would say, hey, we know you're going to want at least English and French and likely multiple of the Inuit languages. Mm-hmm. And that allows a group to reach in a very decentralized manner and say, hey, tell me about your ecosystem. Oh, hey, cool. I don't have to worry about labeling. I already have some information on that and other things that OCA provides.
Yeah. And we're, I have heard of OCA before and need to start to bring that in. As far as this particular list of things that we're hoping to address, we have a rough implementation. It's currently living in the Cardia ecosystem or a Cardia project with the Linux Foundation for Public Health. And we're looking to make that implementation more broadly available, but we kind of feel like we've done a working implementation of these particular features. It needs cleanup, you know, a little rough around the edges, but we're feeling like we've kind of hit a stable collection of things to address that served our needs. And so instead of looking for a whole broad new or complicated set of additional features to add, we're looking to make what's there more bulletproof and then to investigate things like the OCA and sharing, you know, different parts with TOIP, things like that. So kind of hit a version one and looking to make things solid now. So okay, next thing that Sam put on the agenda was a time to discuss status updates for AIP version 2. So we'll start with his first question. Has progress been made by anybody that they would wish to discuss or share here? Any items being difficult? All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to go bring it up here real quick. All right, so we've got the Aries interop profile. And there's a version 1 and a version 2. So reformatted, unchanged, mentally updated. And then a bunch of new ones here. Okay, so we're working on the issue. Open box. Cool. So from the general silence on the Aries interop profile, I think perhaps what that indicates is that there are lots and lots of things that are important that are also being worked on in addition to or in place of the Aries interop profile, and certainly highlights the fact that interoperability can be hard. For the cardia interoperability.
Small correction there, Mike. I'm not sure you can use the phrase can be when you're talking about interoperability being hard.
Well, so depends on your scope, right? If you're working on being interoperable with yourself, hopefully it should be pretty easy.
Yes, yeah, so the self-licking ice cream cone protocol is very easy.
Yep. But the moment you broaden it to any second party or the broader, you know, open source community, or you start looking at things like we're not even using the same credential format or, you know, style of ledger or whatever things, or a ledger at all. Yeah, it gets crazy fast.
Yep. And that's the whole intent behind supporting the Aries interop protocol is to say, you know, we all come with our own version and definition of what interoperability means. Let's prove it out through testing. You know, yep. And understand that's a dumb test because here's what I'm thinking, and then adjust so that you can reach a community decision on, hey, what's bare bones interop mean?
Yep. Yeah. One discussion that we had at IAW was about the complementary roles of a hackathon or an interopathon and an interop profile. The idea being that if you specified an interop profile in advance of your interopathon or hackathon, then you'd have kind of a base level that you'd be testing against, that the interopathon could explore things that are hard to cover in an interop profile or test harness, and that you could discover new things to discuss or add to said interop profile or test harness.
Well, and also take a look, you know, by adopting this particular interop profile, I was able to accomplish X, Y, and Z.
Yep. So it looks like the interop profile version 2 has been agreed upon by the community, but that we have our work cut out for us to get all the agents to up to supporting it. Let's see, do we have any? Yeah, so there are no listed agents that claim full interop profile compatibility. And if you look at some of the items that are in this list, so for example, I think under the connections and invitations section, so for example, there's some things that out-of-band invitations and DID exchange are things that AFJ is working on. For example, they're headed that way. There's full out of band They're working on present proof version 2. So there is work being done here. Just has anyone hit a particular issue that's causing them grief, or that was particularly tricky to do or needs additional discussion? It's a really broad topic to say the whole interop profile.
I think without the leader on the AIP side, you know, briefing the meeting, it's hard to know, right?
Yep, that's true. Okay, well, I think that what we'll do then is we'll say, let's cover this again later, especially when the AIP version 2 leader is here. All right. Looks like we have a pickup protocol pull request to look at. Adding support.
AIP? Who is the AIP V2 leader?
Good question. I don't know. Is that Sam?
Sam or Steven?
Yeah. I mean, one of the current.
One of the current twins.
Yes, Sam or Steven. Yeah, neither of them are here. And so either one, is whoever the leader is, they're not here.
Timo would also be able to answer a lot of your questions. Well, obviously, we've done a lot of work on AIP V2 in AFJ. They've implemented a lot of that stuff last year in ACAPI as well. I can't give you the in-depth details of what all the issues have been and everything else, other than to say that for the JSON-LD W3C stuff that Animo were implementing over the last couple of months, they had a few issues there having to implement all of the BBS plus signatures and all that kind of stuff. So I know it wasn't easy, but AFJ is nearly there with most of those RFCs that you just displayed. So I can't speak for the other frameworks, but the intention is that we will go into production in Ontario with their wallet implementation with that AIP V2 in the coming months. So the news is good there, but I wouldn't want to sort of speak out of turn. So try to keep it a bit cautious about being overly enthusiastic, but my understanding, what I've seen, the work that I've done, what we've done at AFJs, and what I've seen on ACAPI's AIP V2 is very close to being completed. So I think that's something to be pleased about.
Okay. Yeah, good. No, I appreciate that, because like has been said, without people leading the AIP spec itself or some of the big project, the project leaders who've made the most progress, it's hard to state the exact status, but we do know that some of the work is done and some is being worked on. And like you said, at least Aries framework JavaScript is starting to get pretty close. That's really good.
ACAPI is ahead of us. A lot of the work we did was based on what they did in ACAPI. So
ACAPI is ahead of them. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, I would say I've spent the last 6 months working on AIP too, and I think we put in the biggest PR in history, right?
No.
It's something like 150 files and 15,000 lines of code, and the size of it was astronomical, right? I mean, both on issue credentials and present proof V2, and that was just for Indy, by the way. Now we're doing even more for JSON-LD W3C. So it was you look at AIP V2 at the start, you don't think it's going to be that big a deal, because 6 months ago they didn't think it was, and it's taken us a bit by surprise how absolutely huge it's been, right? It's been a huge undertaking to make sure we didn't break what's already there with Indy and the V1 stuff, and then bring in the JSON-LD and everything else. So it has been very, very challenging. I think that's safe to say, right?
Yeah. Definitely safe to say. All right. So that's a pretty good high-level summary, and we can dig in some more later. Let's go ahead and take a peek at this protocol here for pickup protocol. Let's see. Let's open that in a new tab here. So add support for message ID and notification. All right. So we've got files changed. So add a message ID and add it to the list of things here. Optional field to pick up the message from the mediator. that the notification was linked to as defined in pickup protocol version 2. All right. So proposed by Timo Glastra. So there's a little more context, sending push notifications. So we had a very robust and healthy discussion about this last week about push notifications. So it looks like we've added a message ID to support picking up the message from a mediator and a notification it was linked to. All right, we won't make any, I don't know if I have the authority to make a formal decision here, but I can record either excitement and approval or dissent and rejection. So what note should I leave for Sam about what we think on this particular pull request? We'll start with speak up if you have things that you want to change about it or objections. All right, so we'll just add a note that says no objections or changes were voiced during today's meeting. And Sam can take that how he'd like. He could either say, dozen plus people that we had today. Let's see, how many participants do we have today? 14. The 14 people today forms enough of a quorum that we'll move it in, or he might say, I'll check in one more time while he's on the meeting to see what else to do about this one. All right. We have about 8 remaining minutes. Is there anything else we should add to our list of discussion topics, things that should be brought up, things that we want to add to future topics? We see that Sam has put a potential future topic here that kind of overlaps with some of what we discussed today. Standardized attribute names for anon creds and alignment with VC data models, such as term, and then also terms and conditions, machine readable governance, something like that. So that kind of is tied to the how to describe a schema and the, what schemas are we using question that TOIP or governance framework files are looking at how to address there. So that could be a good discussion item in the future. I agree with that being a potential future topic. Any other business? I think we'll make this the final call. All right. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Thank you for your participation, or at least listening. It's been, I have enjoyed my guest hosting duties today. It's been fun. And so we'll add this recording link, and we'll go back to our regularly scheduled programming with Sam running the meeting next week. And go ahead and add whatever last minute notes or participants or whatever to this agenda here, and we'll see everyone in a week. Thank you.
Thank you all.